She was both a poet and a South African. She was both an Afrikaner and an African. She was both an artist and a human being. Her name is Ingrid Jonker.
In her lifetime, Ingrid was not as highly regarded by the establishment of poets, excepting that she did receive a prize, the biggest at its time, for her book of poetry, Roken Oker. But in general, the old men with the grey shoes didn't regard her as such a great intellectual or poet. It's only later on that she was reviewed, and these days she's very highly regarded. I'm Petrovna Metlakamp, I'm an author, and I published the first biography on the life of Ingrid Jonker.
In the midst of despair, she celebrated hope. Confronted by death, she asserted the beauty of life.
There's one poet, Jean Goossen, who said that Ingrid Jonker's influence on the group of 60, the Sestiger poets, was immense. The first poet who really described inner, intimate emotions. And Ingrid Jonker was also influenced by the typing that she'd been doing for Ace Krieger of Eluard and the surrealism, which was something quite new. Up to the age of 11, she had an idyllic, bohemian, very happy childhood. Poor as anything, she and her mother and sister were living with a grandmother. In the vicinity of the Strand, then Gordon's Bay, they used to move all the time. They lived in back rooms and garages and tiny little flats. Ingrid loved her life because it was earthy. She used to play in the field, she played in the streams. When she turned 11, her mother died. It was an abrupt ending to this entire life they had. Suddenly they were fetched by the father that she'd never known, because the mother and father split up before her birth. And the father, a great political figure at the time, member of parliament, etc., he decided to fetch the two kids from the grandmother. Nothing was as happy as the years up to 11 years old.
In the dark days, when all seemed hopeless in our country.
Here is a special announcement. The Governor General has proclaimed a state of emergency in about 80 of the 300 magisterial districts of the Union.
My name's Gerald Shaw. I was a reporter on the Cape Argus in 1960.
My name is Kwedim Kalipi. In 1960, I was a student at Langa High School.
The Prime Minister, Dr. Verwoerd, assured the country that law and order would be maintained. If necessary, the Defence Force would be called in.
The SADF put a cordon of armed troops around the townships.
Manjati family had a son. Boy became sick, and they wanted to take this little boy to the Red Cross.
And this car, carrying this little baby, Wilberforce Manjati, and his mother to the Red Cross Children's Hospital, approached this roadblock.
They went over to speak to the police.
And started moving forward, intending to turn around and go back again. And the chap opened fire and hit the baby. The mother was not hurt. The baby was killed.
The poet Jonker had written about that incident.
She was feeling for the mother who lost a child. She was writing as a mother.
It's unfortunate that she committed suicide. But nevertheless, she wrote a very beautiful poem about it. An incident then that also acted as an inspiration for us to fight the system of apartheid.
To her and others like her, we owe a debt to life itself. To her and others like her, we owe a commitment to the poor, the oppressed, the wretched, and the despised. She wrote, and I quote, "The child is not dead.
Die kind is nie dood nie.
The child
die kind lig sy
vuist lifts his fist against his mother, who shouts Africa. The child is not dead, not at Langa, nor at Jonker, nor at Orlando, nor at Sub, nor at the police post at Philippi, where she lies with a bullet through his brain. The child is present at all assemblies and law giving. The child peers through the windows of houses and into the hearts of mothers. The child who only wanted to play in the sun at Nyanga is everywhere. The child, grown to a man, tracks on through all Africa. The child, grown to a giant, journeys over the whole world without a pass.